please listen. We keep saying some of these things because there's somebody who may be hearing them for the first time. I want to give an exhortation that I titled Understanding the First Fruits Offering. Understanding the first fruits with S, first fruits offering. First fruits, Shile. First fruits, there is S, plural, fruits. Thank you very much. Understanding the first fruits offering. And this is one of the scriptures hijacked by pastors and ministries that make merchandise of the people using the gospel. We are taught with churches, denominations, and I can call their names if you don't know them. I can call their names if you don't know them. But I know all of us left one church or the other to be here. And you know that that is a general thing among the churches, especially the Pentecostal churches. It is one of the things they use to generate funds for themselves, especially those of family businesses they call churches. They hijack this from the scriptures. But I want us to understand what the Bible meant by that ordinance of the first fruit offering. It was a commandment under the law. But let's understand that commandment. I want you to know that there is a difference between, please, we shall join for the, because this is a teaching, it's good you know what I'm referring to, that's why we read some scriptures. There's a difference between tithe and offering. There are tithe and first fruits. They are different. In Nehemiah, 2 Chronicles, let me start from that scripture. Chapter 31, verse 4 and verse 5 is spelled out. Listen.
Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the...
That is Hezekiah, who was now restoring apostate Jews after he became king. It was a king that restored. He restored proper worship, through worship of God. Go ahead.
To give the portion of the priest and the Levite.
They should do what?
To give the portion of the priests and the Levites.
Uh-huh.
That they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord.
That means they forgot the priests, they forgot the Levites. Israel. Uh-huh.
And as soon as the commandment came abroad,
yes,
the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of corn.
The first fruit of the corn,
wine,
and oil,
and honey.
And what?
And of all the increase of the field.
And what again?
And the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly.
So they brought the first fruit and they brought the tithe also. In Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 44, you will see three different offerings there.
And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited.
Now, if you read this scripture, those who say that the New Testament there is no tithe, you can see that Israel was given offerings. In addition, they were given tithe. And they were paying their first fruits. Israel, those who fight tithe, they say, the New Testament church It is only offering, free will offering they should bring. In Israel, there was also free will offering. In addition to tithe and offerings. The commandment, I hope you understand what I'm talking about, what they teach. What they teach is that the beginning of the year, January, at the end of January, that all your income for that month, you should bring it to the pastor. Not to the church, to the pastor. Okay, some to the church. They claim it's the church. And at the pastor, they chop and fall back. Then some is directly to the GO, that the GO. That, because the Bible says you should bring it to the priest. And to tell you how heartless these people are, after celebrating Christmas, where all your money was collected, my own, nobody they collect my own. My eye of understanding, he has opened up at last. I enjoy the holiday, but it doesn't cost me shishi. Nothing. Amen. It's good to know. It's good to have knowledge. For anybody to tell you that you should bring all your income for January, this wickedness. Wickedness. This is what I want to clear for the bride of Jesus Christ in the light of further revelation. Praise the Lord. Yes, first rule was an ordinance, a commandment in the under the law in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 23, let's take some reading from verse 9, 10 and 11.
And the Lord spake unto Moses,
listen
saying,
very well.
Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be coming to the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest.
Eh?
A sheaf of the first fruits.
What are you supposed to bring?
A sheaf of the first
fruits. The meaning of a sheaf is a handful of your harvest. A handful. Get a portion of it. Not everything. And take note that at that time, it was not money they were using. Except you wanted to redeem it. It was agricultural product. It was their produce. What they harvest in their farms. So all the harvest, they should pack everything. Where will the whole nation keep it? It was a handful. Please read it again.
Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be coming to the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof,
yes,
then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest.
Go up to verse 11. And what will happen?
And he shall wave the sheaf before
you see,
the Lord.
Can you see that it is so small until he can wave it? Can't you see? Until he can lift it and wave it for everybody to see. Go ahead.
To be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Praise the Lord. And in Exodus 23, verse 19, he called it the first of the first fruit.
The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God.
That is it. That is just a portion of it. Anyone you can fetch. Not everything. In fact, even describing Deuteronomy chapter 26 from verse 1. Listen very well. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesses it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket.
Where will you put it?
In a basket.
Where will you put it?
In a basket.
If you are to bring the whole of your harvest in that period, will you enter one basket?
No, sir.
Amen. You put in a basket and do what?
And shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him,
I
profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God.
You see, praise the Lord. My emphasis here is that it is put in a basket. That means it's not everything. Tap your neighbor, you didn't hear. Don't be afraid of your neighbor. Make sure you say, you didn't hear, Pastor. It's not only fruit of the land. In Exodus 13, verse 1, what did he say?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
what did he say?
Sanctify unto me all the firstborn.
All the firstborn.
Whatsoever opened the womb.
Anything that is the first to come out of that womb.
Among the children of Israel.
Whether na man or na animal.
It is mine.
They belong to God. Verse 11. Go to verse 11.
And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites.
When you will come over there, what will happen?
As he swear unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give you thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the metric.
Set apart. Set apart. They are holy. They belong to the Lord. Finish reading it.
All that openeth the metrics, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem with a lamb.
Anima.
And if thou will not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem.
Go ahead.
And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt. From
that is the reason for first fruits. That's why you are bringing it to the Lord.
From the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the metrics, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlet between thy eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt.
Now when you say redeem there, that is just like in Leviticus, I think 27, where they also exploit and tell you that if you are owing tithes, that you should add 20% and then you bring the tithe because you didn't pay what you are supposed to pay. Nothing like that. What that scripture is saying is, if you will redeem your tithe. In Exodus 27. Leviticus 27.
Verse 30.
Listen very well.
And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is only unto the Lord.
Now listen.
And if a man without all redeem out of his tithe.
If you want to redeem that tithe.
He shall add thereto the fifth part.
The fifth part is 20%. Now, what they're saying is that, remember that the tithe animals, and anything you want to tithe, but you need it, you want to keep it so that maybe it will produce more, maybe it's a particular species you don't want to do away with. The law says you will find the market value of that animal. You will find the market value of that animal. If it costs 1,000 naira, then you will now add 20%. It will become 120. Am I one correct?
1,200 naira.
1,200. Sorry. Yes. It becomes 1,200 naira. Then you go and give it as offering and take your animal. You have redeemed the animal. Not saying that when you owe, nothing says when you are owing. It's if you will redeem it, you want to have it to yourself. I hope people are learning. So that you go back to your denominational pastors. Or those prophets, all of them, when they jump from prophet to prophet, they go for prayer. When they enter spirit, they shake. They will do as if they are talking from God. No, say they are talking from their belly. Food where they go chop. Praise the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 15, he repeated it. Verse 19.
All the firstling males that come of thy head and of thy flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor share the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year, in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God.
Don't bring anyhow offering unto the Lord. Don't bring the one where you know like. Don't go and select the one where spoil. Now they carry go. God is wiser than you. The one where you go throw away, now you go carry and come. There is money where offering that a petrol station will not collect. You will keep it. I'll take it to the church for offering. God will not receive it. You are wasting your time. You will keep new naira notes to go and spray it for party. Then you carry the dirty, dirty one to the offering and put it. You have wasted it. No blessing follows it. You don't have respect for God. You wear better cloth, go party. When you come to church, you carry one kind of slippers, wear one tattered thing and come in before God's presence. God doesn't receive you like that. He didn't bless you with those clothes you have for party. Use it. Go and give glory to God. When you are going for a party, you select the best car you have. When you are coming to church, now you go carry the come church. Because you don't know the meaning of offering. Don't know how to honor God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you don't, if you take care of the pikin where you born, then you say, Pastor, I have given this child unto the Lord. I want him to stay and serve God. Why you not bring the one where they bring money, where they make money for you? And the one where you know if you take care of you, because say, I bring and can't give God. And they keep up because think that now waste, now ain't God they receive. Praise the Lord. Anything you want to do for God, be at your best. The best cloth you have, wear it and come and worship God with it. He's the one that gives the power to make wealth. Amen. Don't worry. Don't be afraid that people will disturb you for money because of the cloth you wear. The Bible also says we should be moderate. So don't wear cloth for show off. Be decent. Wear better cloth, honorable cloth, that you will dance and dance. They give you money to go and buy clothes. Say, hey, now this one I will use for Prophet Sydney's wedding. Amen. Don't do that. Then the old one, when you go for Bendan supermarket for Jankara, you go carry that one, and they wear come church. You don't know God. You don't know how to honor God. Stop it. But what is all this all about? This law. Remember in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, but in respect of an holy day, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath.
Those are all the ceremonies of the law.
Which are a shadow of things to come.
Everything is a shadow of something that is coming. If it's a shadow, there is a proper image. It's speaking of the existence of an image, a shadow. It's not the real thing. Go ahead.
But the body is of Christ.
Amen. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3, 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness.
They went about to establish their own righteousness because they are ignorant of God's own provided righteousness. What do they do?
Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Verse 4 is my emphasis.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
That is why the law is a shadow. Christ has come to fulfill it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I'm quoting this scripture because you may meet some of these people so that you can teach those pastors.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or what? The prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in the law shall in no wise pass from the
Everything you see in the law, every ordinance law, will come to pass, fulfilled in him. He is the end of the law for righteousness. What is righteousness? It's a state of living a life acceptable before God. A right standing before God is called righteousness. Holiness is a part of righteousness. Righteousness. You may live a holy life and yet may not be righteous. You may believe that holiness means you will not fornicate, you will not lie, you will not steal, you will not gossip, you will not this, you will not that. The meaning of holiness is to be set apart for God's use. That's the meaning of holiness. And if you're going to set apart for God's use, then you clean up anything. Keep away from anything God hates. Anything that will defile you because you are not set apart. You don't want anything that will defile you. That is why Christ is in the business of washing of the water by the word, to present the bride to himself without spot or wrinkle. He washes what? He will wash away lying, wash away stealing, wash away fornication, adultery, wash away gossip and tattling, wash away hatred and all the murderous spirit and tendency, all the carnalities. He will wash it away so that he can use you. And now, when you are now cleaned up, then listen to what he's telling you to do. If he has cleaned you and you still refuse to do what he's telling you to do, you are unrighteous. You see, it's important that we catch this. He is the end of the law. How? That is what is displayed. Remember that the Bible says all have sinned, all, and we are condemned to death because the soul that sinned shall die. Adam and Eve sinned and they died. And if they died, all human beings must die. We are dead. And Christ came as a human being. And he came in the lineage of human being. And because he came as a human being, he must die also. That is why Jesus died like all human beings. He too, he died. He has power to stop death, but he willingly did it because he was going to fulfill a law. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want us to read something. In that Leviticus chapter 29, again, chapter 23 again. Let's read something there from verse 9 again. Listen very well. Listen very well.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
so that you'll understand how Christ fulfilled it.
Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be coming to the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, an e-lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 of
fat flock. Let's end in verse 11. What did verse 11 say?
And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Listen very well, Lord, if you are hearing me for the first time. You are to bring a sheaf of the harvest, bring it to the priest, and wave it. The priest will wave it for all to see your first fruit. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it referred to him as the first begotten from the dead. Jesus Christ is the first.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
Jesus is the first that God begotten from the dead. There are many more that will be begotten from the dead, but Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, is the first to resurrect. And when we talk about the order of resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 and verse 23.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep.
Can you see? He become the first fruit of them. He become the first fruit of them that slept. Who are the them? The righteous ones that died. There must be a resurrection. And who is the first that God harvested from the dead is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please read it again from that verse 20 again, and 23.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the
dead.
That
is the order.
For as in Adam, all died.
All died.
Even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
But every man in his own order.
Now, everyone, there is the order for the resurrection. The first one is what?
Christ, the first fruits.
Christ is the first that came out.
Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming.
So you see why Christ is referred to as the first fruit. Because it's the first that was harvested from the grave among all children of God. And the law is that the priest will wave that first offering for everyone to see. You will discover that in Matthew chapter 27. Well, let's maybe we'll start with Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, let's read the first three verses.
The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus.
This is Dr. Luke narrating what happened.
Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after
those disciples. He showed himself alive after his passion.
By many infallible proofs.
Many infallible proofs.
Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
If you go to Matthew 27 from verse 50 to verse 53.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened.
And the graves were opened.
And many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
When?
And came out of the graves after his resurrection.
After Christ resurrected, there was another group that resurrected with him. The saints that had died years back also, the graves opened. I believe that must be from Abel down to the thief on the cross that died. They came back to life. Hallelujah. And what happened? Read on.
And went into the holy city.
They went into the holy city.
And appeared unto many.
They appeared unto many. That resurrection was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 26 and verse 19. Thy dead men shall live.
Together with my dead body shall
they
arise.
Together with my dead body shall they arise.
Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
And that is what happened when Christ resurrected, and the graves were opened. It was that scripture that was being fulfilled. And so, that wave offering of the first fruit that the priest waved for all to see, God also waved his own first fruit. When he resurrected for 40 days, everybody was seeing the evidence of the first fruit. That is what the law of the first fruit was speaking of. It was speaking of the resurrection of Jesus, the first begotten from the dead. Christ, the first fruit. Jesus fulfilled it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you say first fruits, because it's not only Christ that resurrected. First, because others were going to have life also. They were going to have eternal life also. So that you understand from verse 15, Leviticus chapter 23. From verse 15, listen to the ordinance. Listen very well.
And it shall count unto you from the morrow after the
Sabbath.
So that
you will know that all these ordinances were being fulfilled under grace. And ye shall count.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath.
What is the morrow after the Sabbath?
Sunday.
What is the next day after the Sabbath?
Sunday.
Shout, let me hear you. Shout Sunday.
Sunday.
Shout to Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh yeah, so that you understand that verse.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering.
From the day that you brought, you are supposed to bring the sheaf offering. On which day were you supposed to bring it? You are supposed to bring it on the Sabbath day. From that, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. Count from that, 7 Saturdays. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 times 7 is how many days?
49.
How many days?
49.
Go ahead.
Even unto the morrow after the 7 Sabbaths.
After the 7th Sabbath, after 49, the next day, Sunday. How many days will you number?
Shall ye number 50 days.
50 days.
And ye shall offer a new meat.
Then you will offer a new meat offering. Meat offering. Read on.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 loaves of 2 tendils. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven.
This one now, you will bake this one with leaven. So they are sinners. Sinners. To receive a fire. They are who?
They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
They are the first fruits also unto the Lord.
And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year.
That is how you will offer it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what they call the law of Pentecost. That was what they call the law of Pentecost. From the wave offering ceremony, count 50 days, there will be another ceremony called Pentecost. It was the celebration of that Pentecost that everybody was in Jerusalem. God made sure everybody was in Jerusalem by using their king to order a census so that everybody will come to their hometown. That is how everybody assembled in Jerusalem. But it also coincided with the feast of Pentecost. While they were observing the Pentecost under the law, it was being fulfilled and they didn't know in Christ. After he resurrected, he was waved for how many days?
40 days.
40 days. Then he ascended. And 10 days after he ascended, 10 plus 40, how many days?
50.
That was on the day of Pentecost that they were celebrating Pentecost. There were a group of sinners that were in an upper room. And suddenly, Acts chapter 2.
And when the day of Pentecost,
from verse 1,
was fully come.
The day of Pentecost, the real Pentecost that they were celebrating,
was when did they come? They were all with one accord.
Who are they? Who are they? Who are they? The disciples of Jesus Christ.
And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
What were you supposed to use to roast those meats?
Fire.
In Leviticus chapter 20, what were you supposed to do?
Fire.
What are you supposed to use?
Fire. Fire.
That is what was symbolically shown, that they saw that the Holy Ghost like tongue of fire upon them. They are the first fruits that received the Holy Ghost. And they were also waved. The whole city of Jerusalem saw them. What meaneth this? What is happening? Everybody saw them. And he referred to them. They are his first fruits. Praise the Lord. That is what people are using to collect people's money. Blind people leading the blind. What will happen? So that you understand the statement in Romans 8:23, what Apostle Paul, the statement he
and
made.
And not there, only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Which are the first fruits of the Spirit.
We here that have the first fruit, because they are the ones that first experienced the true baptism of the Holy Ghost before us. That's what. What did he say?
Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Hallelujah. Because others are coming too. We are coming. We are the next after the apostles. After this first age, after what happened on the day of Pentecost, Paul also experienced it. That was the season he was given the Holy Ghost. That was the season he went to Cornelius' house, gave the Gentiles also. They are the first fruits of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you can also understand what God means in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3, as he refers to Israel as the first fruit of his own increase.
Israel was holiness unto the Lord,
uh-huh,
and the first fruits of his increase.
Uh-huh.
All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them.
Who is Israel?
The first fruits of his increase.
Because he is going to have another group of people that will have covenant with them that are not Israel. Jesus told the Jews, he said, there are other sheep that are not of this fold. He will also bring it together. But the first of all the earth is Israel. They belong to him. Everything first belong to him. Therefore, so that you understand James chapter 1 and verse 18, the way it is put also.
Concerning so believers. Will begat he us.
Yes.
With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits.
We are to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Because he's going to harvest us. Praise the Lord. And the whole world will soon know that some people left this earth for the rapture. Praise the Lord. That first church age, those who understood the language of the Old Testament, who understood the law, see their language is different. See greetings. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 5. See the way he greeted that sister also.
Now will I come unto you.
Go ahead.
When I shall pass through Macedonia.
Go ahead.
For I do pass through Macedonia.
Uh-huh.
And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you.
Uh-huh.
That ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go.
Listen.
For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren.
There's a verse I'm looking for. The sister in
Romans 16:5.
Sorry, it's Romans. I'm sorry.
Likewise, greet
sorry,
the church.
This is, sorry, not Corinthians. Yes, this is
likewise,
the verse I'm looking for.
Greet the church that is in their house.
Uh-huh, that's the scripture.
Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
Again. Salute who?
Salute the well-beloved Epaphras.
My well-beloved Epaphras.
Who is the first fruits?
He is the first fruits of Achaia unto
Christ.
Christ, that is the first one that received the Holy Ghost in that town called Achaia. See the use of the language. In my ministry, Prophet Boboye is among the first fruit of my ministry. 25 years ago, he came here to cover a Holy Ghost program that we went in the camp with a camera. He was hired, paid to come and cover it, record it with his camera. We paid him. But while we were ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he received. That is how camera drop. Oh. Amen. The first fruit of the ministry. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4. The 144,000.
These are they which...
Who are they?
Which are not defiled with women.
Yes.
For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men,
uh-huh,
being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Because when after the rapture will take place, the gospel will now come back to the Jews. For now, they are still blind as a nation. When the gospel will go back to the Jews, the first people that will receive the Holy Ghost, receive Christ, they are 12,000 from every tribe. It's God that knows them. Totally 144,000. They are the first fruit of that revival. First fruit. And they are special people. Wherever the Lamb went, that is where they went. They are the ones that are scattering the gospel all over, confusing what they saw. What they saw on the day of Pentecost will be small compared to what will happen when the gospel will go back. That is why, that is fulfilling the prophecy that was given to John chapter 10 and verse 11. After he read from verse 8, read it from verse 8. Revelation chapter 10. Read it from verse 8.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again.
Thou must prophesy again. It means they have prophesied before.
Before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
That prophesy again is the revival that will take place in Israel after the rapture has taken place, when the gospel will go back to them. 144,000, the first fruit, they are the ones. In the first revival, they were 120. Now there will be 144,000. So imagine the kind of revival that will take place. That is why the Antichrist will be angry. They will turn the whole place upside down and tell that Antichrist man that comes from Rome, seated in the temple, that he is God, that he is the very Antichrist. Expose him. He will tolerate it for 3.5 years. After that, he will show who he is, Satan incarnate. That is when they will have the type of trouble they have never had before. That is spelled out in Revelation chapter 12. And at the end of the tribulation, as that tribulation period, which is supposed to last 3.5 years, ends, then you will see the difference. I mean, you will see why we have verse 30, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 from verse 28 and verse 29 has been fulfilled. And it is still going on now.
Joel chapter 2 verse 30.
Verse 28. Read it from verse 28.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
Uh-huh.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
Before you read, before you get to that verse 30, there are two different periods. Verse 28 and verse 29 is what is going on now. I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And they are prophesying now. That is what is happening. Israel will also have her own. But by the time, after the 3.5 years, the tribulation will start. And that is exactly what you see in verse 29 of Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus Christ was giving us the revelation of what will happen.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days.
Now the tribulation of those days is the tribulation that the Antichrist, after that 3.5 years, will let what the Jews will go through in the hand of the Antichrist. What they will go through. After the tribulation of those days, then verse 30 will be fulfilled.
Joel 2:30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth.
They will show wonders in the heavens, that is in the sky.
And in the earth.
And in the earth.
Blood and fire.
And pillars, of smoke. That is talking about the vials and the trumpet angels. Judgment that will come upon this earth.
The sun shall be turned into darkness.
The sun will be turned into complete darkness. Sun will not shine.
And the moon into blood.
Uh-huh.
Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
So while that is taking place, then they will see Christ will come together with us. And that is what Jesus was speaking of in verse 29 of Matthew 24.
Immediately after the tribulation of these days, shall the sun be darkened.
That is why Prophet Joel saw.
And the moon shall not give a light.
Uh-huh.
And the stars shall form from heaven.
Uh-huh.
And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
Uh-huh.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Hallelujah.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
That is where we will be coming together with him to start the millennium. Oh, glory be to God. Fire will destroy this earth. That is exactly what Peter was talking of in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. That is the fire. That is the fire.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Because people will not know.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
They shall be burnt up. And he gave an admonishment.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
How can I know this and live a careless life on earth here and claim to be a Christian? See what we have been screaming. It's because you have not caught this revelation. And please, those who are quick to talk about the soon coming of the Lord using some signs here. For the past days, a part of Los Angeles has been on fire. And anything that happens in America, it means it's the whole world. It's America because everything happening there is international. Game, what we don't know for Nigeria, they say an international, a world championship. Game, their game, what we don't know, we don't even know, so it exists. If it is in America, it's a world championship. Even if not only them and Canada, they do them. Everything America, hey. Everything. And people have been waiting for me to make a comment on the fire. Me, I did look. That's not the first time fire they burn now. Fire they burn everywhere. When all their houses in the wood, they take the build them. And there's also grass full everywhere. Because they said they want to be close to nature. So they plant the trees everywhere. And houses are burnt. Now you say it's judgment that is coming upon America, upon Los Angeles, because that is where all these films and the rest. It started from there, but now it's everywhere in the world. It only started from there. Nollywood, unko. Bollywood, unko. Why will God go to Los Angeles alone and rain fire for Los Angeles? Is Los Angeles the place they make laws of America? Why you not go where the legislators are and burn down the building and burn down everywhere there where they make laws and legalize LGBT? The destruction that happened there, is it one-tenth of what happened in Indonesia some years past? Hundreds of thousands of people died by that tsunami that took place. Hundreds of thousands. Nobody say, na judgment they come, because nobody America. Look at your scriptures. The fire that will not come only in America, it will come on the whole world at the same time. It didn't come on part of Sodom or part of Gomorrah. Now the whole city, the thing come down top. Rain of fire will come upon this earth. Why will it burn America that helps even sponsor gospel when in China and Russia it's an offense to even be seen with the Bible in some places? Why the fire not go there? Why the fire not go in there? Where then they put animals saying I didn't be their God? Then they chop cow. Now they are God. God is not vexed with that one. Now, and it's not the whole of Los Angeles that burnt now, now part of it. So don't let people begin to shake you. Then they are playing one admonishment by William Branham. They want to make it look a prophecy. And what William Branham was saying, he didn't say fire. He said water. And he didn't say Los Angeles. He said California. So stop all this. It's a sad thing. Very, very sad. Very, very sad that people lost their property. We were watching it live as fire was just going and the wind was just carrying it. It's very pitiable. Very, very pitiable. But that is a foretaste of what is coming. Whoever started that fire is very wicked. See the effect. But there is a fire that will be started by God himself. That is the rod to come. That is why I say, go and preach the gospel to all nations. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can't you hear? Saved from what? Not just saved from witches and wizards and Satan. Saved from the destruction that is coming upon this world. There is a fire that is coming. And you are still playing religion. Continue. As it was in the days of Noah. That is how it is now. The rapture will take place. Who is hearing us? And people who want to even say they call on Jesus, what are they doing? They are going to those Mara churches. They don't want to go to where they will hear the truth. To line up with God's expectation. But we'll never stop preaching. Noah didn't stop preaching. Till the day God said, oh yeah, enter. We will continue to preach until God takes us away. For those who hear, who have ears to hear, to escape, praise the Lord. First fruit is an offering unto the Lord, and it is a burnt offering. It's a burnt sacrifice. If it's an animal, they kill it. So that you understand the statement, revelated language. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe I'll remind you about the water of the word. Eh? You hear some of us saying, have you drank water today? We'll come to that. So that everybody will understand that. That's the language of the bride. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I'm almost finished.
I beseech you therefore, brethren.
Listen very well.
By the mercies of God.
Uh-huh.
That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
That you present your body. Because we are first fruits unto the Lord. To be harvested from this earth. Therefore, we are a sacrifice unto the Lord. Present yourself as that true first fruit.
Holy, acceptable unto
God. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord.
Which is your reasonable service.
So that you understand Romans 11, verse 16.
For if the first fruits be holy.
If that first one, Christ, the first fruit, and all those that resurrected with him, I mean those that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they were known to be holy.
The lump is also holy.
The whole lump, part of that body, the total, the remaining, must be holy.
And if the roots be holy, so are the branches.
If our source of life is holy, then we must live a holy life. Holiness is being set apart for God's use. Praise the Lord. But I want to emphasize something before I close this. There's a statement in Romans chapter 3, verse 31.
Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
I want you to understand that statement. Read it again.
Do we then make void the law through faith?
You may void the law through faith. I'm talking about those who say there is no more tithe. And there are some again that will say, no more. After my teaching now, they will tell you, no more first fruit. Through faith, you nullify the law. Through faith, you make void the law through faith. He added,
God forbid.
Why?
Yea, we establish.
We establish the law. Oh, praise the Lord. Because you have to find out, why were these offerings, why were they demanded by God? The three offerings. The offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes. Deuteronomy 14, verse 27, 28, and 29. Deuteronomy 14. Listen, the purpose. This is the purpose.
And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him.
Uh-huh.
For he hath no parts, no inheritance with thee.
Uh-huh.
At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee,
you see,
and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest.
That is the purpose. That what will happen?
That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest.
So the blessing of the works of your hands are tied to the payment of tithes. In the Old Testament. What will God use now to tithe to the blessing of the works of your hand? That is why we say we establish the law. We apply it appropriately. It was to meet the need of the temple, the need of the people. Tithes and offerings still meet the need of the ministry. That is God's own means of financing his work. Oh, praise the Lord. It means so much. Until Malachi chapter 3, the popular verse. Let's read it from verse 6.
For I am the Lord, I change it not.
You see, he does not change. Go ahead.
Therefore,
in
sons,
his principles, he does not change. It's the same principle.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we
return? How are we to return to God?
Will a man rob God?
He is answering them now.
Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
And what?
Offerings.
In tithes. Not only tithes. And offerings. Offerings. You rob God in tithes and offerings. Amen. It is expected that a rich man will give for the work of the Lord to reflect that you are a rich man, a rich woman. That's the truth. It is expected. A brother was telling me, not from this church, he was grumbling to me. He was a deacon in his church. And he said that the pastor is an intermessage church. They will not encourage the people to bring offering. Do not encourage the people to bring offering. He said, because he's the one that counts the money, he said, on a Sunday, it's over 500 people will sit down in the church. Over 300 people will sit down in the church on Sunday. The tithe, according to them, belong to the pastor. So they don't know how much pastor they collect. Not only him, they keep the account. They belong to him. And they preach it. I've been in some of them where they preach that the pastor is free. He can take part of the tithe and give it as offering if he likes. Then he said, they will gather and they will give. He will count. They will have 35,000 naira on Sunday. And the pastor will not preach. He was grumbling to me. Because where they have their building, no parking space. They will park far somewhere and come. And he was telling me, he said, if it is Pentecostals, he said they will have bought the land all around them so that they can expand and have parking space. He said, see how we are squeezed here. Because the people will not bring offering. They can bring 1 million naira tight. When it's time for offering, they will squeeze it in the hand and throw it on God. 1,000 naira. 2,000 naira. In tithes and offerings, read on.
Verse 9.
And the brother was telling me, say, if it is not him that vowed 200 liters of diesel every week for their generator. He said, how they for take the use of the generator for get power? Now he personally vowed 200 liters every week he gives the church. Amen. And he told me, he said, and brother, you know I am blessed. He said, you know I am blessed. He told me, he said, you know I am blessed because he gives offering. Go ahead.
Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into this. Verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse.
Uh-huh.
For ye have robbed me, even this old nation.
The whole nation, their attitude towards tithes and offering was annoying God. And why did he say you are cursed with a curse? Now, some of these pastors, in trying to scare the people to bring tithe and meet the need, whatever they need the money for, they say this thing and the context with which they say it is misunderstood. And bloggers will go and say, for not paying your tithe, you are cursed. For not paying your tithe, you know, you are cursed. But read it carefully and see what he's saying there.
Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this old
now,
nation.
Now, listen. Okay, go ahead.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse,
uh-huh,
that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven,
can you see?
Pour you out a blessing,
uh-huh,
that there shall not be room enough to receive.
The reason is, paying of your tithe causes God to bless the works of your hand. Now, if you don't pay, the opposite of blessing will follow you. You will be struggling. You will be battling if you're a true seed of God. You will be suffering. It is that suffering that he called a curse. It's automatic. You will suffer. That is why he said you are cursed. You will read it again.
Verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse.
With a curse. For every disobedience of God's commandment goes with a consequence. And the opposite of blessing is curse. You will receive the opposite of blessing. Now read on. Verse 11.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes.
Can you see? When you pay your tithe and give offerings, because it is offerings and tithe. What will he do?
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes.
He will fight for you.
And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground.
He can't touch that income, the source of that income. He can't touch it.
Neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field.
Okay.
Saith the Lord of hosts.
Uh-huh.
And all nations shall call you blessed.
Everybody that see you will know that you are blessed.
For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
Everybody will know that you are blessed. Praise the Lord. He said, give it and prove me. If those blessings he spoke will not follow you. And don't give and prove me whether those curses will not follow you. That's how we study the Bible. Praise the Lord. So that you understand Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10.
Honor the Lord with thy substance,
uh-huh,
and with the first fruits.
Honor the Lord with your substance. In case you are new here, that is why we don't only worship God. You see people coming to the pulpit here and they are dropping offering during worship. You are to honor God with a substance, something substance. When we are given testimony, we also send an offering. When we are given testimony, doing thanksgiving, we don't just come and say, praise the Lord, we give. Any reason you have to celebrate, you give. Honor the Lord. Don't just use your mouth. The Lord. Go ahead.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase.
Uh-huh.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty.
See the blessing? What will happen?
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Hallelujah. And whether it is offering, I have said it here before, I want to repeat it. Whether it is offering or tithe, or even the first. Now let's look at it. We have spoken about tithe now. I've spoken also about offering. What of first fruit? First fruit, a part of it. Listen, any job that you just begin, any business, you just start employment and the first salary that they pay you, you are not to bring everything to God. Bring a shift, a part of it, any amount from it, and bring it to the Lord. What it does is that you have insured that job. You have connected that job for God to watch over because you have acknowledged him. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge God. And he will do what? He will direct your path. That same Proverbs 3 says so. He will direct your path. That is why I say we establish the law. We don't make void the law with faith, with grace. No, we establish, we confirm. This is the reason the law was given. And we are also to apply to enjoy the benefit. Hey, praise the Lord. And so, after you have paid the first fruit from that business, from that job, you don't pay again as long as that job remains. You only be paying your tithe and any offerings you have. And I've always said it. It is during offering that you know the condition of your heart, whether you are stingy or not. Because offering is free will. Tithe, na tax, commandment. So na fear, then they make you they pay. But the one that say freely now give, And even there are some free will offering that is given for show. That same person, when they announce publicly donation, if you go to him, he has donated 1 million, and you go to him, you're looking for 5,000, I know Greek give you, you now know why he give that 1 million. Not that he has a giving heart. So offering, it's an opportunity to know whether you are a giver or you are a stingy person. Praise the Lord. I've told you this before. Anything you do as an obligation, why are you requiring blessing from it? Tithe belong to God. You say, give me, now he can get up. So it should not be for any other reason, is that Nahingetam. I prayed and he answered me. He became my partner. Take your own. Take only 10% and keep 90. You want to chop all. Chop all. God is very, very considerate. You want to chop all. If you train your pikin, it's an obligation. Don't expect any blessing, special blessing from God. For training your pikin, from training your blood brother. But where the blessing is for a needy person, and that you pick and decided to sponsor in any area, give them capital. You have not seen people who are close to rich men. Some men are very wicked. Somebody close, every day they know you as your best friend. You're a multi-millionaire, have houses. That person is living in one room and is doing software. Shoe, don't chop all. Sweat everywhere. And you say it's your best friend. You are an evil man. You are wicked. You keep making him wait until he asks you for, anytime he asks you, then you go say, oh boy, you took the worry meal. Oh boy, you took the worry meal. If you want to know who everybody is, look at the people that are around that person. That's how you will know that they are not givers. Why should your, that small girl you brought from the village to help you in the house, why should your own children dress better than that one? When they go buy market, why don't they buy your own too? You are wicked. You are not a giver. Though you bring 20 million tithe every month, you are wicked before God. You are wicked. After all, what you brought, now God get them. Now God get them. Nobody you get them. The one where you get, or you are distributed, let's see. That is what the church was known for. And that is what we must be restored to. And as I'm saying this, so I'm not encouraging the Babi Allahs, the beggars. Because they are here now, they are being empowered. I'm saying you yourself, you have something to give. You too, you have something to give. Don't be stingy. Sometimes you are a poor man like that because you know they give. Because you know they give, you don't receive. Because it is what you give that will return to you. Why is everybody forsaking you? You have been forsaking people too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can see two people, two different people in this same church or in this same church, in this same church. They do a dry cleaning job. I be pastor, they are pastor. Then with the haggle, you're going to wash for me every month. How much you're going to pay? Then we argue price. We argue price. Daddy, I can't take anything less than this. I say, and I wait if you afford me that. Now, so you go. Then another one, the second one again came. Somebody recommended him. Then I say, how much did they take? He said, daddy, anything, anything. No, I said, call him. I said, no, daddy, anything, anything. So the first month, I called and paid him. Then 2 weeks after he came, he said, daddy, when I collected that money from you, I was condemned. Daddy, I'll be washing for you. Don't give me transfer money. Don't give me money for soap. Don't do anything. Just I'll be washing for you. That's what I have offered to be doing for you. Inside my heart, I said, this one is wise. This one is wise. Praise the Lord. What he gets from me as a result of that action, I have paid his house rent. Anytime I am distributing rice, he almost be there. I know you will not collect from me. I will send Tina. Tina, make sure you collect this. Give him. Every time he come, I must give him money, 10,000, 5,000. So you can see now the difference between the two of them. Because it's, for doing that, I adopted him as part of my family. That is how he should be. He has a giving heart. The other one is opportunity. All the tithe, when they chop, you want chop my low, I must get some of it. I must get some of it. Remember, Prophet Benjamin went to buy engine for his car. If I talk, what would they go through for this ministry? In the hand of members. Those who are fear, we rush. Pastor. He will go behind, signal up, say, get money, add 50,000 top for me. And then you are thinking that a brother and I take you go to the right place. And then they finish us pass. How can you prosper like that? Defrauding your own brother. When you are bringing the tithe or your offering, any offering you bring, let it go with a prayer. Don't just carry money, put your envelope, or come to the altar, drop people going. Pray, present it before you send it through your platforms, whatever you call it, your application, your phone, whichever means you transfer. Before you click send, pray, Lord, this is what I am sending to you. If you send the thing, read error, 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 that means God has rejected it. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me, forgive me. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example of the prayers. Then we end that. Deuteronomy 26 from verse 1. The prayer for first fruits. See the prayer for first fruits. Listen.
And it shall be, when thou art coming unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first fruit of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him,
uh-huh,
I profess this day unto the Lord thy God.
See what you will say. See what you will say.
That, uh-huh, I am come unto the country which the Lord swear unto our fathers for to give us.
Uh-huh.
And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand,
mm-hmm,
and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God.
Say before the Lord thy God. What will you say?
A Syrian ready
this
to
was
perish.
My condition, oh,
was my father.
This was who we were before.
And they went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous.
That is the story of his beginning.
And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, our labor, and our oppression.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand,
uh-huh,
and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders.
Uh-huh.
And he has brought us unto this place,
see,
and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey.
Uh-huh.
And now, behold, I have brought of the first fruits of the land.
Which that thou, land, oh, where you took us, brought us to. Uh-huh.
Which thou, O Lord, hast given me.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God.
Verse 11.
And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee, and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger which is among you.
Now, this is the one for the first fruit. Ha, Father, I remember how I said so far before I get this job. How I apply, how I was borrowing money, how I could not eat, how they rejected me. Where finally I cried, I went to the mountain, I called upon your pastor, and you showed me mercy and gave me this job. Now, this is the first salary from it, the first fruit of it. This is the blessing. I've come to thank you. Take your own. That is the prayer. From verse 12, the prayer for tithes. From verse 12.
When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe of thy increase, uh-huh, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, and the widowed, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house,
uh-huh,
and also have given them unto the Levites and, uh-huh, unto the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me.
Uh-huh.
I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them.
Uh-huh.
I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use,
uh-huh,
nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done according to all that thou hast commanded me.
Uh-huh.
Look down from the holy habitation.
Look down from the holy habitation from heaven.
And bless thy people Israel.
Uh-huh.
And the land which thou hast given us,
uh-huh,
as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with
milk. This is the kind of prayer you will pray. Don't just send tithe. Send first fruit. Let it go with a prayer. Did you notice that it is not the priest that was praying? It is the person that brought the offering that is praying. The priest is only to receive it. Pray. Make sure you pray before you come to drop that tithe, to send it especially these days where everything is now done electronically. Where we won't even see, we just see Allah, we don't even know who is paying. Let God know why you are sending that offering. Why you are sending your tithe, from what source, let him know. Church, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is part of the knowledge that makes so many of us suffer unnecessary losses. We get disconnected from sources of blessings. And sometimes the problem is not with the witch. It's not with the people around you. It's not with bad stuff. The problem may be your disobedience to God's word. That's why this knowledge that we're imparting now is important, as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13 says. Listen to what wisdom is saying.
I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened.
If you go in this way that we are teaching you, your steps shall not be straightened. You will find difficulty in your progress.
And when thou runnest,
thou
shall not stumble.
You can't stumble.
Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go.
What will happen?
Keep her, for she is thy life.
She is thy life. Instruction. What we are doing now is for your own good. I teach you what I practice. And I know what I'm enjoying from it. That is the truth. Can we bow down our heads? Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. Thou sayest
for me,
blessed in my eyes, the wonderful King.
Thou shalt on clouds ascend, silently.
Oh, silently now I wait for
you. Ready, my God.
Ready. Lord, we grant us understanding of how to walk with him and live a peaceful life on earth here, a prosperous life on earth here. If you frustrate God's work when he expects you to progress the work of the ministry, he will frustrate your own too. If you progress God's ministry, he will progress your life too. It is principle. He said, I am the Lord, I change it not. He said it. Challenge him and see if he will not open the blessings for us. I know many of you walk by this religiously. You do. I'm telling you, that is why he has waved away so many problems from you, you may not know. I'll tell the Lord, have mercy on you. And thank him if you have caught anything. And let him know you have repented. That from now you will be practicing this. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. I needed to finish this.